recorded live.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised. One New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show determined to piss the world off. By shoving a mirror within society's face, he kicks them in the balls. I present to you Louis B. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Yo, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war on bullshit. We will do anything we can to eliminate. Oh my goodness. Am I here? I'm getting feedback. Alright, here we go.
Technical difficulties in the beginning of the program.
We do anything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I don't hold my tongue or censor myself. I attack the issues that I don't agree with, and I drag them into the light. I'll do anything and everything to expose anything that is corrupt. Before we get started, we have King Shabazz that he wants to say a few words.
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker, I hate it. You want freedom? You're going to have to kill some crackers. You're going to have to kill some of their babies.
I still don't know why I keep having them on. I mean, that's totally uncalled for. I mean, I understand killing the crackers, but why the babies? You got to save the babies. I'm all about saving the babies. Today we're doing news and commentary where, you know, I read the news. I got some news articles here for your consumption. And, yesterday I kicked my own ass. Yesterday I had to kick my own ass. And I do that from time to time, you know. I because there are a lot of people who do the things that I do. And they don't keep themselves in check. They don't fuck themselves up. They don't punish themselves. Because really, you know, as a 9/11 truth, as a conspiracy theorist that knows that, hey, at any given moment, the government could go into a police state and you're going to have to defend your family, your friends, and possibly put your own life on the line, you know, physically. I mean, and I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people that does believe that this is not going to get solved by exposing. You could expose fully that 9/11 was an inside job, or prove fully that the Zionist or whoever was did 9/11, or is behind every conspiracy from the time of Jesus. You know. I seriously don't believe that. Because they have such a head start, they'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, we let them know this. A lot of the knowledge that we have was allowed to be leaked. I mean, if it was something that, you know, like something from WikiLeaks that was released, then I could trust it. Then I could trust and be like, oh, okay, well then, yeah. Then that's when you start messing stuff up, when you expose stuff that isn't supposed to be exposed. But if it's something that you could find on a simple Google search, I think it was meant to be found. Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm all for, you know, yeah, invest in gold, invest in silver, but there's one precious metal that we should be investing in, and that's lead. And that's only for your own personal self-defense. I mean, really, that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, all these people running around all happy-go-lucky and crap, like, oh, well, I'm going to get drunk this weekend. Really? Those people are so moot. It's like they blind themselves to what's really going on in this world, and they just sicken me. Really, if you had the knowledge that I did, or that most 9/11 truth, goodness. I mean, that's why there are a lot of 9/11 truthers that just do drugs in order to just get the take the edge off of life. Unfortunately, I'm not. I don't got money to start a heroin problem. I don't. Something to take the edge off. You know what I mean? It's just constantly. But yeah, we got some news articles here. Okay, let me with this first one. With this first article. I would like to give a little quick disclaimer. Haaretz is a Israeli newspaper. But the thing is, they publish two stories. One for the Israeli people and another edition for everyone else. The edition for everyone else could be misconstrued as anti-Semitic. So, I mean, take this with a huge grain of salt. Really do your own research and see if this is true. The fact that they got it from WikiLeaks holds a little weight. So, here we go. We got Softtail63. How you doing? All right, this is from WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks releases a CIA memo titled "What If Foreigners See the United States as an Exporter of Terrorism?" in which American Jews in Israel was one of the four groups mentioned. The WikiLeaks website released a CIA document on Wednesday that examines the trend of Americans committing terrorist acts overseas, including American Jews in Israel. American Jews in Israel were one of the four groups mentioned in a classified report titled "What If Foreigners See the United States as an Exporter of Terrorism?" Some American Jews have supported and even engaged in violent acts against perceived enemies of Israel. The reports read, in 1994, Baruch Goldstein, an American Jewish doctor from New York, emigrated to Israel, joined the extremist group Koch, and killed 29 Palestinians during their prayers in the mosque at the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron, which helped trigger a wave of bus bombings by Hamas in early 1995. Other groups mentioned were Irish Americans, those drunk McBastards, who support the Irish Republican Army, or the IRA, a group of Muslim American men who traveled to Pakistan last year to engage in jihad, and a Pakistani-American man, David Headley, who conducted surveillance for the Laskhar-e-Taiba terrorist group ahead of the attack in Mumbai, India, in November 2008 that killed more than 160 people. The leaked report was compiled in February 2010 by the CIA's Red Cell, which, according to the memorandum, was tasked with taking a pronounced out-of-box approach that will provoke thought and offer an alternative viewpoint on the full range of analytic issues. WikiLeaks, an online whistleblowing website, recently published tens of thousands of classified military documents related to the U.S. war in Afghanistan. And again, I'm not a, you know, Softtail, hey, from Texas, how you doing? Look, I'm not anti-Semitic in any way, but I do believe that there are all governments are corrupt. And I'm really starting to think there is this thing between the U.S. just working for the interest of Israel. They work for the interest of Israel way too much. And, that means I'm going to get killed by, Mossad soon. And look, I even have friends there, and I'll probably get cursed out if they ever heard this. But I mean, the more I read this, the more I see that I don't hate Jews in any way. I don't. But I do believe that there are people posing as Jews that have co-opted their government and are pushing them to wars. And then put, you know, conducting infowars on their people, you know, saying, oh, Muslims are bad, Muslims do this. And of course, I'm saying on the other side too, that Muslim, there are people who are fake Muslims trying to beat the war drum, saying, oh, well, the Jews did this, the Jews did that, you know. So that way, there's a constant instability. There's no unity that happens in the Middle East. So much killing. And I do believe it's bigger than the Zionists. I do believe it's bigger than Muslim extremism. I mean, really look at it. Who benefits? Both sides die. Really, if Israel was to go to war with Iran, who benefits from that? You know, that not the IDF soldiers. No, of course not. They're putting their lives on the line. Like our US soldiers are putting their lives on the line over a lie. It's all a lie. It really is. And everybody wants to say, oh, well, it's religion's fault. It's religion. Really? Is it really religion's fault? I really don't think so. I think it's people that have taken over. Oh, oops, I gotta add. Yeah, I got someone calling in. You know, they're going to, we're gonna be talking about the news, huh? You know, and I mean, I've always said this, religion is the most important component to a civilized society. Because I truly, you know, I mean, how else are, hey, how you doing?
Hi, nice to, thank you for having me on tonight.
Yeah,
can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Why don't you introduce yourself to the people, Hal?
Okay, and I apologize ahead of time. A lot of times when I use Skype, the transmission comes through a little jarbled, so I may ask you to repeat yourself a few times. But my name is Andrew Steele. I run a blog called America20XY.com, covers a lot of the daily news. I'm also a writer, you know, published on a lot of different websites, and also I got a column now started in Brazil that gets translated to Portuguese each month.
Wow.
So that my short biography.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, we've covered a lot of your articles on Crowdshot Radio. You do some good work, Andy.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate, you know, again, you having me on and being able to participate in your show. I'm actually just started listening this week, but I like it. This is it's informative and entertaining, and I like listening to you speak. You're very good at the microphone.
Yeah, well, you know, have 3 years practice. So yeah. Anyways, I was just reading this article. I don't know if you heard about this. WikiLeaks released a CIA document saying that the U.S. American Jews are among the exporters of terrorism, and that's from Haaretz.
Yeah, I was listening to you in the beginning talk about that. Now, I'm not familiar with that article, so I don't really have a lot to comment on until I do read it. As far as WikiLeaks is concerned, you know, I don't really have anything I can prove it with. I'm very suspicious of WikiLeaks, but I don't say that because a good rule of thumb for me that I've learned over the past couple of years of following all this is that if the mainstream media talks about something, seemingly support something, then it's better to run the other way. And,
right.
And I'm just, you know, again, I'm very suspicious because usually, in my experience, you know, when things come out, the mainstream media tries to downplay it, tries to ignore it, but they're embracing this. And also, too, last weekend, you know, the rape and molestation charges came out against that Assange guy. Now, again, I'm not trying to speculate, and I'm not like a Rush Limbaugh or Breitbart person who comes on the air and just throws things out there, but I did find that, you know, very suspicious that the Swedish government came out with that and then they immediately retracted it, and that the media was saying that it's a dirty trick, you know, because they don't say that. They don't ever accuse the government of participating in a conspiracy against someone. So, again, you know, I without any evidence to say, you know, that my suspicions are correct, I have to take it at face value that WikiLeaks is on the up and up. But I am suspicious of it. As far as that is concerned, you know, again, I'll have to read the article to be able to comment on that.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's possibly already has been co-opted. WikiLeaks has. I mean, especially with. I hear a lot of truthers say that this doesn't really matter, that Julian Assange says that 9/11 wasn't an inside job, that it's ridiculous for people to think so. But
I heard that too, and I always say people have a right to their opinion, and I am sure that 9/11 was an inside job. That's actually what got me started on this path. But I don't immediately discount someone when they don't say that, because, you know, a person has a right to say that. Like Ron Paul, I'm a big supporter of Ron Paul. From things I've heard him say, it doesn't seem like he thinks that 9/11 was an inside job. He thinks the commission did an okay job. But that, you know, I don't discount the other things that he brings up about the Federal Reserve and all of that. So, I mean, you know, that seems to be Assange's opinion. I think he's wrong about that. In terms of, and if I'm understanding what you're saying, the article is saying something about like terrorism coming out of Israel to America. Is that what the article is saying?
Well, Americans going to American Jews going to Israel and joining up with Jewish terrorist groups and, you know, starting crap.
Well, there's people that do that. I mean, that happens in Islamic countries too, so I don't doubt that. You know,
right.
Zionism is just like Islamic extremism. Anything taken to its extreme can incite violence, and I'm not saying all religion's bad. So, you know, I don't doubt it. There's always an example to point to any kind of case, and, you know, that, I mean, our own, Rahm Emanuel went over to Israel and helped out the IDF during the Gulf War. You know, because
right.
He felt that was his fight. Now, if the press had properly vetted him, they would have asked, well, do you think that Israel's problem should be America's problem, since you're going to have a pretty high position in our government that might influence some of your opinions and advice to the president? You know, they should have asked him that, because that is an important question.
It is.
And
I mean,
they didn't.
Especially when we have a whole bunch of politicians that have dual Israeli-American citizenship. I mean, where do your loyalties lie? I mean, that's a very valid question, but you hear a lot of liberals saying, well, that's racist to ask that. No, it's a perfectly valid question. I mean, you want to know whose interests will this politician who you voted for will be working for.
Well, absolutely, and, you know, that's kind of bullying by peer pressure. Obviously, you know, I'm not one of these people who doesn't think the Holocaust happened, doesn't think that there's anti-Semitism. I know, you know, that there is, but
yeah.
There's anti-everything if you really boil it down. But,
exactly.
You know, if you're going to be in the media and if you're going to be a politician, you have to cast aside the immature, you know, baby peer pressure stuff of name-calling and actually look at the deep issues and ask these questions. And, you know, and you see that on the other side with, you know, Islam. You got, you know, people talking about Barack, and I'm no fan of Barack Obama by any stretch, but, you know, people saying
yeah.
that, you know, oh, is he a Muslim? Is that why he's, you know, doing this or that policy? And, you know, I think that's nonsense, but you see people more readily asking that question about Islam than you do about Judaism and the
right.
Islamic, the Israeli lobby. And it, you know, it is, two-faced or a double standard.
Right. In fact, it's kind of funny that you mentioned the whole Israeli lobby, because the ADL is for the mosque here in New York.
Okay, and again, your voice kind of came through jarble because of my Skype connection, but I think you're talking about the mosque or the cultural center, rather.
That the ADL is for the mosque in New York. Here in downtown Manhattan.
My opinion about the mosque, and I didn't really even pay attention to it until it started becoming a really, really big issue, because, you know, I watch these people, these Fox News phonies who claim that they're constitutionalists.
Yeah.
Railing against this guy. First of all, from what I've heard, and I'm not an expert on this subject, but from what I've heard is that it's not going to be an actual mosque. You know, people hear mosque and they think that there's going to be, you know, big bulbous ceilings and a big Islamic flag hanging from it. It's an office building. And it's going to be a cultural center, and there's going to be a small area for praying that's going to be there, and that's it. But you hear these Fox News people, they claim to be constitutionalists. If you're a constitutionalist, you're for property rights. And if the guy owns the property, he can do whatever he wants with it. And I think that it's really being hyped up to get people in that mindset, that 9/11 mindset again, so that because they're planning to do some other stuff in the Middle East. You know, you see the drumbeat for war with Iran getting hyped up. You see them talking about Yemen now. And there was a bit, or there was a story on Raw Story a few days ago. The second largest shareholder of News Corp, which is the parent company of Fox News, his name is Prince Al-Walid bin Talal. He donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to causes that this imam behind the mosque is involved with. Now, you know, but you have Fox News is the biggest voice against this. I think it's a big phony story, a big non-story that's being hyped up to get people distracted away from the fact that the economy is falling apart, that the wars aren't really ending, and it's a convenient way to get that, again, that post 9/11 feel back in people's minds so that they can remember that, you know, the guys over in the Middle East are the bad guys, and that's the ones that we need to be focusing our ire on instead of the bankers that are robbing us blind.
Well, I mean, we had like a little debate on Monday about the mosque, but the bottom line is, all this debate that's going on, whether you're for it or against it, is moot because our rights that are assured to us in the Constitution say freedom of religion. These guys could have a church or mosque or a temple, or, you know, or whatever have you, that is a place for religious gathering, and they could be teaching how to insert bananas up your ass. I mean, if that's your religion and it's an established religion, you know, we can't say anything about whether to shut it down or allow it to be. They bought the building. How come you don't hear these people protesting the people that sold them this building? I mean, I personally have no problems with Muslims or Jews or anything like that. I feel that even me saying I'm for the mosque or against the mosque, again, that my opinion in that respect is moot because they have a freedom of religion. And I don't understand what's so hard for people to understand.
You don't worry about it, because we got a weird connection over the Skype here. But I was just going to say, again, I think it's a phony story. And I don't mean that those people standing at Ground Zero protesting don't really feel what they're feeling. But, you know, what I've learned from being in 9/11 Truth is that, you know, when you've got something where you got obvious evidence of something that would be the story of the century, you know, the media can choose to ignore something if they want to. They pick and choose what stories they want to make a big deal of, and then that riles people up. And so there's some people who are saying that, they have property rights, but it's not, you know, it's insensitive to be locating the mosque there. But, you know, I really feel, I could be wrong, but I really feel that if Fox News and the phony neocon right-wing, media wasn't making such a big to-do about it, and even the left wing, too, by taking the other side, they're playing in the game of making this big event out of it, that you wouldn't see as much controversy. Most people probably wouldn't even know that it was there. Again, it's not going to be like, have onion domes like you see in Saudi Arabia. It's an office building. And, you know, again, most people wouldn't even know the thing was there if they weren't making a huge deal out of it.
And seriously, that onion dome, I mean, I know this is just a side thing. An onion dome does not necessarily mean a mosque. Because there's this Russian Orthodox church near my neighborhood, which has the Onion Dome, and they're Christian, so people grow up.
Oh, yeah, like Eastern Orthodox. Yeah. Exactly. And again, you know, but that's what people are imagining. And, you know, when they call it a victory mosque and they say it's insensitive, well, I mean, how sensitive is it to fire a drone into somebody's building and kill all their civilians and then plant your flag over the Capitol? I mean, you know, and this was going on before 9/11, and I'm not saying that we had it coming or that we, that the people in the towers deserved to die, because 9/11 was an inside job anyway. And that's another thing that gets overlooked is that, you know, Islam didn't attack us that day. It was powers bigger than that. Islam didn't cause buildings to fall at free fall speed into the path of greatest resistance. So, you know, that's why people are overlooking the issue, and that's why it's just a big bony distraction.
Yeah, I'm reading. I have the today's New York Post. What do you think about that that man that Michael Enright who stabbed that cat, the Muslim cabbie?
You know, I mean that's another example of the Islamophobia being hyped up. Now, if this mosque thing wasn't happening, would it have happened anyway? It might have, because he was hanging out with these Marines in Afghanistan. And a lot of that is promoted, you know, from the videos I've seen of soldiers and just talking to people. You know, they get psyched up to attack the enemy through this kind of us versus them thinking. So maybe that would have happened anyway, because he was Muslim and because of just the past. But, you know, in one sense, it's a personal story between these two guys. And, you know, I can't blame it completely on the media. But, you know, it's just another example of the media's effect on the populace to be able to frame an issue as one group versus another, and when it really isn't. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate thing that happened to this poor guy. You know, and
yeah.
I've got that at the top of my page right now.
Yeah, and of course they got Daniel Pearl's dad saying to move the mosque, too.
Oh, I'm not even... You mean Daniel Pearl, the guy who was decapitated?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah. Hold on, we got, I think, Sophia, soft ale wants to say this. Listen, and she says, probably, Islam didn't play a role at all, ? Listen to the imams all over the world teaching hate. Fundamentally, it is behind the attacks on the USA, not only 9/11, if you don't.
Okay, I'll respond to that. No, Islam played a part in it, but Islam wasn't the cause of it. The same way when somebody, you know, some fundamentalist Christian group, you know, goes and does, you know, shoots up an abortion clinic, whether or not you agree with abortion is not the issue here. Is it really Christianity or is it something else? Is it a more deep-seated social problem or mental issue? With 9/11, yeah, I'm not, you know, going to say that there's not fundamentalist Islamic people out there who are fanatical. Those are the people on the bottom. And this is how it works. It's compartmentalism. Just like the soldiers who go in and fight the wars, you know, they don't have any idea of the bigger picture, most of them. They're just doing a job. Fanatical Muslims are in situations where, you know, that they see their standard of living is bad, and they see the West is playing a big role in it. But they're being used.
You know, what part, no comparison. We aren't speaking of Christianity.
Well, but you know, there's been a lot of things done in the name of Christianity that's been violent as well. Because the people at the bottom, they do believe in this. They do believe that what they're doing is for God, but they're being used by forces higher than them. When you go up the strata of, you know, these organizations, once you get towards the top, you have people that are just in it for the power and the money, and they're being manipulated. The people on 9/11. In my belief, I really believe that those hijackers thought that they were doing, you know, what they were doing for Allah or, you know, for whatever. But their mission was hijacked. It was helped along by bigger forces. So they're being used just like we are, you know, on our end of it to create the situation. So, yeah, it does play a role, but it's not what attacked us that day. It was used by forces bigger than them.
Yeah, she says, she or he, I don't know. We aren't speaking of Christianity. It's so funny that they wish to compare Islam with Christianity, but we aren't talking about Christianity.
Okay.
If you want to call in, feel free. Here's the number.
Call the Crotch Shot Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
Yeah, and just so you know, we have the official Crotch Shot chat room is on crotchshotradio.com/listenlive. Big shout out to Chris Geo and Queef. He's in there. He's like, he's. Chris Geo saying, tell her to come to that chat on crotchshotradio.com/listenlive. We got a player there so you can listen to live to the show. talk with some other cool people. But here it is. She says, and they are not, and they're being traded in the USA for bigger and better things.
And you know, again, when you were talking now, the Skype thing kind of shorted out. But is she referring to the Muslims are being trained in the USA for bigger and better or bigger
things? I have
things?
No idea, because I asked her to please. Oh. Please type in full thoughts, and I would just read them to you unless she wants to call in. I would rather her call in so that way, you know, she could be clear enough in expressing her ideas instead of me just guessing them and possibly getting them wrong. You know what I mean? I keep referring to the Softail as a she because, I don't know, I'm probably going to get stabbed. I'm a man!
Well, and I just want to say, too, you know, me referencing Christianity or Judaism or Islam, I know that Christianity doesn't advocate violence at its core, and really neither does Islam. And, you know, because I actually started reading the Quran after 9/11 happened, and the only passage about violence, you know, advocated if you get attacked. That was my understanding. So if there's somebody who understands Islam more than me and wants to argue that back, you may know more than I. But basically my point is that, you know, any religion at its core teaches, you know, good stuff, but it can be misused. It can be, it can go too far. It can be used to radicalize people, and it doesn't matter what kind of religion it is. And that has happened throughout history. I mean, you know, Christianity has had its bad sides, or has done its bad things in history, you know, and so has Islam. And, you know, it's not about what the religion is. It's about the people who hijack it and manipulate the people within that religion.
Right. This is what Softail said. In Texas, there is large sections of remote areas that are being sought after as prime real estate, supposedly to train inside militants.
Can you repeat that for me again? I'm sorry.
In Texas, there is large sections of remote areas that are being sought after as prime real estate, supposedly to train inside militants.
Well, I'm not aware of that, but I don't doubt it either. So, you know, if you want my opinion on it, I can't really give it until I read something, but you know, go ahead and send it to me. You know, my email address is editor@america20xy.com, and I want to get more people involved. I don't want this page to just be me and a few other people that sometimes post there. So if you find something interesting, you know, that you think the world should know, I do a pretty good job of getting it out there, and sometimes other sites pick it up. So, you know, send it to me, and I'll take a look at it.
They say it isn't in the papers.
Well, again, you know, then this is where citizen journalism comes in, and this is where the internet is really, you know, like the Gutenberg Bible. If something's going down, you know, that you see and nobody's writing about it, write it and send it to editor@america20xy.com, send it to me, or if you want to get to a bigger audience, send it to writers@infowars.com, and they'll, you know, if it's well-researched, they'll probably use it. So,
or,
you know,
Or crotchoutradio@yahoo.com. Haha.
Absolutely. Everywhere. Send it everywhere.
Send it everywhere. Remix. To the four winds.
Well, you know, and again, you know, this is why the internet, I think, is just such a wonderful thing. Because it empowers people, regular people, to basically be the media. You know, mm-hmm. people to talk to each other who would never otherwise have met. I wouldn't have met you and be able to be having this conversation and have an audience if it wasn't for this. And we need to use it while we can, because they're really licking their chops to neuter it, to bring it down and make it some kind of glorified cable box. So,
yeah, pretty much.
You know, we need to use it and abuse it as much as we can. So, you know, if you see something, you know, to steal the words from Big Brother, if you see something, say something. So I encourage everybody to do that.
In fact, print it up, download it, save it. For a rainy day, get yourself an external hard drive, start burning it to DVDs while you still can. So that way, when they do bring it down, we can still spread information the old-fashioned way.
Absolutely, and also to get a plug-in, if you go to federaljack.com, and I've also got it on my webpage too, a little banner ad, Federal Jack has burned a ton of info onto external hard drives. It's about $150. As far as I know, it's not like a money-making scheme. It's to, you know, get information out there, so if they do bring down the important stuff on the internet, you still got it there, and it's a good hard drive, and it leaves space too, so if you think they left something out, you can have it right there, and you got the hard drive, and it's all in one place. So, you know, check it out, and if you, you know, if you can't afford it, get friends together and buy one.
Yeah,
that's my quick commercial.
Yeah. Oh man, so, all right, we'll leave. I'll keep my shit talk from Federal Jack to a minimum. Yeah, shit happens. Shit happens. I mean, we have a disagreement on some on a leader of a certain movement in here in New York. So it's whatever.
The founding fathers had many different disagreements. So you know, but we're all together fighting one big force. And I try to remember that. I almost look at it as this is like some kind of revolution. Thankfully, we don't have to be shooting or doing anything violent. We can just get information out. So. You know, there are people who have a lot of differences within the movement, and there's personalities, too, that get in the way. But I just try to stay focused on, you know, the real enemy, the enemy that affects all of our lives, which is, you know, the military-industrial complex, the new world order that's being created around us, these international, these globalists that are basically robbing our treasuries and, you know, issuing in a new world currency. I mean, there's an article off of a great blog I just discovered this week called The Economic Collapse. I need to get it onto my links page. But about how this IMF document, and I read it, is talking about a new world currency called the Bancor. The Bancor, if I can pronounce it right. And,
yeah.
You know, before they were talking about the SDR, and just, you know, in case people – don't understand this. Right now, the dollar is the world's reserve currency because, you know, what that means is that countries trade, you know, big resources like oil and stuff like that in dollars because you got to have a common currency. And we've been able to have it be the dollar for this time, but now a lot of them are abandoning the dollars. And the IMF has talked about a world reserve currency being an SDR. But their problem with that is that it's made up of a basket of different currencies. So now they're talking about using this SDR to go into a tradable, you know, guy on the street has it in his wallet, currency called a Bancor. And in the paper, they talk about, you know, having it compete with regional currencies and, you know, and having it just kind of slowly brought in kind of like the euro. And that's, you know, that's scary. A few years ago, I used to think this New World Order stuff was a bunch of bunk. It seemed, you know, it seemed far-fetched to me. But, you know, all of the quote-unquote crazy people on the internet are right. They are doing this. You can see it happening. They're going into hyperdrive now, and we really need to stand up to this because a world currency is not in the interests of any country, of any regular person. Because once they control the world currency, they control the world. You know, I forgot what the quote is, but it says, if, you know, give me the power over the finances of a country, and I care not who's the leader. I'm paraphrasing
right.
And taking great liberties.
Well, actually, I care not what laws. Or something like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, but now put that from a nation and apply it to the entire world, and that's what you're looking at. And with these people running it, it would be hell on earth. And they're already bringing in the control grid, and, you know, I can see it. You can see it with I watched some video game CEO about a month ago giving some presentation, and he's talking about all these wonderful things they can do. You can have the toothbrush keep track of you, you know, how many times you brush, and then you get a coupon for your toothpaste. There's actually people talking about this kind of stuff. And you watch these shows by these futurists who have a big voice among elite people, you know, on TV talking about, oh, in the future you'll be able to, you know, piss in the toilet, and the toilet will be able to tell, you know, if you drank the night before, and then that gets forwarded to your insurance company. It's great. It's awesome. I want my insurance company knowing how much
actually,
I drank last night.
That actually reminds me of this skit they had on this show called Something News. It was a cartoon, but they had the Google Toilet, where they had basically an automatic groomer of the stool, and they would like, oh, it looks like you had chimichangas. Here's a Google ad.
Well, yeah, you know, but it, what's funny is that, like,
Super News
really got before I ever got really into this. Before I like following it closely, there was this show, and I would love to find it again, where it would take a future situation and would play it out dramatically for you to tell you what the future is going to be like. And, you know, in the scenario, it shows this guy, and he goes and he pees in the toilet, and the toilet, well, but he doesn't actually pee because he was drinking the night before, and since it goes to the government insurance, and, you know, that information from the toilet, he pours in somebody else's urine, and then he has some kind of an accident. Because he has a chip inside of him, the robots are able to, or the paramedics are able to come up right on the spot and help him, but then they find out that he had, you know, had put the fake urine in the toilet, and they won't treat him now. And it goes into this whole, you know, drama about this, but it's pointing out all these different technologies, and they're portraying it in such a positive light. But, I mean, but to me, that sounds like hell on earth. You know, everything is spying on me and keeping track of these things. And
yeah,
this whole idea of privacy and personal responsibility is becoming a relic of the past. They're doing that by design, and it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the one point I seem to make that I like to make is, remember growing up how you always valued your privacy, like you would hate it every time your parents or your little brother or your little sister would violate your space, how upset you would get?
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's a good point because, you know, we grew up, you know, oh, don't, you know, the little brother reads the diary, it's a violation of privacy. And, you know, you grow up being a kid, you know, and a lot of, like, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds don't want anything to do with their parents. That's the age when you start closing the door and, you know, your parents ask how your day was and you freak out on them. It's natural. It's, you know, puberty and all that stuff. But now these people are growing up and they're putting all the intimate details of their lives on Facebook. You know, that's why I only have a Facebook for my webpage. And I got pictures of me with Ron Paul and, you know, superficial stuff that I would show anyone anyway. But I don't, you know, list my favorite movies. I don't list my, you know, people list their sexual orientations, their religion, all of the stuff. And then they tag each other in these photos. And you go to somebody else's photos, and it'll bring up one of your photos and ask, oh, who's this person? Tell us who this is. And, I mean, this seems like a CIA front, you know, some kind of database that people have their egos played on to voluntarily register for. So that's why I don't participate in it other than for the business of getting information out to people. You know, if people want to know information about me, I'm an open person. You can go ahead and ask, but I don't want it sitting out there on some national registry to be able to track me down and see, oh, who's this person associated with? Oh, and he talked to this person, and this person said that he was at the bar on Saturday night. Who needs
right.
that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. Who are these people? I mean, who are these people to be telling me, A, what to do with my own life? I mean, if it doesn't hurt anybody, it doesn't violate any laws where, you know, who cares? But but it seems like there are people that, oh, well, this is good. This is convenient. You know, it's just, I don't know, it seems like, you know, people want a better technology, but it makes it easier for the powers that be bring on the nanny state.
Well, I mean, what it does, yeah, because they portray it as something positive, and, you know, like Alex Jones says, you know, you portray it as something, you tag it on to something reasonable. You know, classic example is the military helping out at car wrecks. I'll tell you a story, and I haven't really told this story to many people, but I tried to go to the World Bank, or not World Bank, what am I saying? G20 in Toronto. I tried to.
Right.
I had some issues at the border. They wouldn't let me in. They found a bandana, and they wouldn't let me in, so it was this whole big, long ordeal where they asked me questions, sent me home. But anyway, when I'm there, they're asking me, you know, the Canadian, these high-tech Mounties, are asking me about my bank account because I had drawn some money out, and they're asking, you know, how much money do you got in there? I mean, just completely just out-of-line questions, you know? I come
right.
back to my hometown, like, later on in the weekend. I got to deposit a check at the bank, and I'm concerned about this, and I told them, you know, like, the story, they have my account number. What can the Canadian government do to me? And the lady's like, oh, don't get crazy on me here. She's like treating me like I'm like crazy for being concerned about this. And she almost about half didn't believe me that they gave me this much trouble. So, you know, and then, like, you know, I'm applying for a job or for some temporary jobs, you know, on the side. And they're telling me, no, you can't, you don't get a paycheck. It's all direct deposit now. So now they're even phasing out paychecks. And, you know, eventually they're going to phase out cash. And when they're able to do that, that's going to be the end of, you know, working under, getting money under the table, you know, doing roofing here or... You know, they're gonna be able to tell everything that you do and everything you purchase. But it's convenient. You know, the debit card is way more convenient than getting cash out. I acknowledge that. But it's also dangerous because once that's the only thing and once it exists, I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate fiat currency where you don't even have to print money. You don't even have to put it on paper. You just put some digits in a computer. I mean, do you really want them having that much control?
Of course not. Because,
and a lot of
people don't even know. I mean, the government does it all the time. If they're after you, they freeze your accounts. It's nothing. It's nothing to freeze their accounts, and pretty soon they'll just make it so much easier that they won't even need a court order to do that. They'll just, really? You wanna protest? Oh, you're not happy? Boop, boop, boop. Now, how unhappy you are now that if you can't pay rent, you have no access to our money. Your money that you earn, that we allowed you to earn, is ours now.
Well, and that's what the late Aaron Russo said. You know, he said that the reason he got into the activism and to challenging the income tax, and he knew 9/11 was going to happen, is that he got involved with some person high up in the elite chain. I forgot the name, who it was, but he said that, you know, according to him, this person said, "Oh, you're going to see this attack, and you're going to see people, soldiers hunting around in caves, and they're not going to find anything." And he's laughing, and then. You know, he said that this person told him the ultimate goal was that everyone's going to have a chip in their hands, and that's going to control everything, and if anyone steps out of line, you just turn off the chip.
Yeah.
And
in fact,
they are proposing chip.
Chris Geo in the chat room, he says they only print 3% of the money in circulation, so that's a moot point.
Well, it may very well be, and I'm not aware of that statistic, but yeah, a lot of the money... You know, that exists right now. I mean, we just approved $1.3 billion for a base in Afghanistan that's not going to be completed. I don't think it's finally approved. I think it's still working through Congress, so I want to correct myself there. But that's on its way. $1.3 billion for a base in Afghanistan that won't be completed until 2012, and that's long after the deadline in July of 2011 when we're supposed to start withdrawing from Afghanistan. So that's another point there. But, you know, where does this money come from? Have you ever seen $1.3 billion? I mean, I don't even have any kind of frame of reference to imagine what that would look like. So most of our money, you know, does exist on a computer. So, you know, the gentleman you just quoted is probably correct.
All righty. So, okay, next next topic we got here. In fact, let me take a quick break. Can you stay till after the break?
Oh, sure. I'll stay as long as you have me.
All right. Very good. This is... Damn it. Sorry. Didn't mean that. Just trying to get... All right. This is the Crowd Shot Radio Show, kicking the crap out of the issues.
Would you consider that torture?
Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no E's, .com.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. some of the benefits of Delivery.com. Save money with exclusive restaurant specials. No more busy signals, waiting on hold, or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order, which you can redeem for prizes. Sign up today. Place an order with Delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from Delivery.com.
Oh, damn. That was it? Oh.
Believe it or not, you could get a professional custom logo designed for under $50. Logo Nerds provides small businesses affordable logos custom made to your specifications. And satisfaction is always guaranteed. The Logo Nerds banner on CrutchShotRadio.com and get a logo done for $27.
Welcome back to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we're indestructible. And yeah, man, we're talking about news. We got Andy from American20XY.com. Check it out. A lot of important news and information on that site. I usually post a lot of their articles here on Crotch Shot Radio Show. It's a fantastic, very informative site. You would do yourself a service to check it out every day. So, Andy, thanks for coming on. I mean, coming on the show. We got like 9 minutes left. This next article we got here. Philadelphia bloggers told they owe $300 for a privilege license.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was blown away. I don't even know how to even wrap my mind around that because, I don't even really know all the facts. I guess the lady made about $50. I've made about maybe $100 about 2 years ago on the blog, and now I don't make any money because I don't even try. But, if this is what they're going to start doing, then I would, be happy to move to another country, that doesn't have such stupid laws. But this is all part of the incremental destruction or taking down of the internet. Now, whether or not this mayor is consciously, knows that he's doing this or not, who's instituting this, I don't know, but it sets a dangerous precedent because if they're allowed to get away with this, then other cities are going to start doing it because they're thirsty for revenue and they're going to be looking for money anywhere they can. And if it's going to be for punishing bloggers, that'll work in their benefit, to get the money. It'll also work in the, New World Order's benefit for taking out its competition.
Right.
So, I think that's absolutely deplorable. I hope that gets challenged and defeated and, put to the dustbin of history and forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have Google Ads before they revoked it, and it took me like better part of 3 years to make $100. It's really
And those checks. What's funny is those checks look like junk mail too. I mean, it's so easy to like throw them away. I probably wouldn't have even opened it if someone hadn't told me to do that. I'm like, hey, this is a check. So yeah, I mean, that Google revenue is such a joke. Anyway, that if they're going to start claiming it's a business, that's just going to scare people away from starting blogs.
Exactly. Or keep them on MySpace. So.
Yeah, and MySpace has been neutered from what it was. And Facebook, Facebook's trying to censor people. They have the Gadsden flag as their profile picture. So, I mean, it's a controlled medium, and that's what they're trying to keep it to.
So, here's another article. Apple patents security invention that recognizes users' heartbeat. This is from the Apple Insider. I don't know if you Have you heard of that yet?
I haven't heard of this article. So what? It identifies, like, it's a security. You walk into a building, it recognizes your specific heartbeat to let you in.
Yeah, here. Relying on the user's picture or sound of their voice, future portable devices from Apple, like the iPhone or iPad, could recognize individuals who pick up and use them. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office this week revealed a patent application from Apple entitled Systems and Methods for Identifying Unauthorized Users of Electronic Device. The security-centric invention describes methods to identify users through a picture, the sound of their voice, or even their unique heartbeat. The photograph recording or heartbeat can be compared respectively to a photograph recording or heartbeat of the authorized users of the electronic device to determine whether they match. The application reads, if they do not match, the current user can be detected as an unauthorized user. If an unauthorized user were to attempt to access an iPhone or other device, the owner of the handset could be notified in a variety of manners, including a phone call, text message, or email. It could even send the owner or the police a picture of the unauthorized user of or other information specific to the potential thief, such as the current location. I mean, how many ways can this be used against the authorized user of the electronic device?
Okay.
I mean, there was already an article how law enforcement loved the new iPhone on its way to get forensic evidence on people.
Well, this is just another way of bringing in the surveillance state and selling it as something, as doing it for your protection. That's why when you turn on the TV, you see these commercials for these security systems where you have the photogenic, good-looking woman on the treadmill, and then some scummy-looking dude busts the door open and sends her screaming into the bedroom, and you've got the guy in the polo shirt at the call center, calling and asking if everything's all right. So they present this really scary situation, and they make it seem like the whole world is out to get you so that you can, invite Big Brother right into your front door. It's like a vampire. The only way a vampire can come into your house, in books, is if you invite them. So they need to make you invited. Otherwise, people, would say, hell no, I don't want to, this security system keeping track of me. Are they going to make the doors any better? What's wrong with a lock and key? And that's another thing, too, is it takes responsibility out of somebody's hands to take care of their own security at their house by putting it in the hands of a machine. So it makes
seriously, how easy was it for that guy to kick that door down? I mean, you make that a good point. I'm like, he just lightly tapped it. Hi, I'm him, and I didn't cut myself on the breaking glass. She runs into her, she ran into the bedroom. Wow, this is a very good time to rape. I mean, come on.
Well, I always tell people my next career is I want to play that guy busting it in. Like, I try to look in the mirror and look all evil and everything. I think that would be the most fun job is playing that guy.
I just wanna kick in white people's doors and just walk away gingerly, like as if nothing happened. Just break doors down. It's like, oh, okay, not my house. Have a good day.
Well, at my last job, they had so many security measures on the computer and so many different passwords you had to log into and all of this. I was just like, one day we're just going to have to stick our tongue on the computer screen to be able to, get into our computer. Just, lick the computer screen. Oh, that's your saliva. Okay. And the computer turns on, That's where we're headed. And, I think it's completely unnecessary, and it just takes responsibility out of people's hands and puts it into the hands of a big computer surveillance system that's going to keep them in line. And over time, it's going to become the norm. And we're going to become that brave new world society in a few generations. Maybe not the next two generations, but definitely within, next 200 years, if things keep on going as they're going. And that's really what I see us shaping up as, and I don't like to say dumbed down because that's very insulting. A lot of people aren't awake, but I do see, a purpose, people being kept in ignorance, and people don't really understand what's going on, or if they do, a lot of them just choose not to look into it because it's too hard to take on. But, if we've only got a few minutes left, I just want to implore people, you do have power. And that sounds cliche, but the fact is, I mean, you're doing your show, I'm doing my thing. And, you know, I'm even a perfect example. It's not like I have any special credentials to be giving, you know, my opinion. I'm just a guy with a voice. And there's plenty of people with voices. You have a voice. And, you know, if you use it, more of us use it, then the powers that be will back down. Because they are, you know, they are scared of us. They are people. It's like in Rocky IV when he's swinging and he's getting his butt whooped, and then all of a sudden he just hits one shot and the Russian's cut, and he doesn't realize. You know, he looks down at his own blood in horror and he starts backing away. I love that. I got that on my MySpace page because it's a perfect example. I think we have cut them, and I think they completely underestimated the great awakening that's happening. Or a better phrase is from Bill Cooper, the late Bill Cooper. They stepped on their dicks. You know, with this one, with 9/11, they didn't anticipate this many people waking up to it. And now I think they are running scared, and I think that we are on the march against them, but we need to keep it up and we need to grow our numbers and just, you know, do whatever you think you're the most talented at. Whatever you do, it's going to be more than doing nothing. So I beg people, you know, use your voice. Don't be afraid. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't feel like you're small. Who am I? You are you, and if you believe you're something, you'll eventually become it. So I wanted to get that out there and hopefully inspire someone.
Amen. I'd like to thank Andy again. The site is America20XY.com. Thank you for coming on, Andy. You are welcome to come on anytime you want. You have an open invitation. And that includes Chris Geo. I thought I had was made that clear. I always make that shit always clear. You know, you have an open invitation, Chris Geo. Damn. Anyways, this has been the Crotch Out Radio Show. I'd like to thank Softtail 63 for calling for everything. Chris Geo, Queef, Moose, Casey, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for listening. This has been the Crotch Out Radio Show saying fuck the New World Order. And if you can't, and if you don't want to look into what we say, you don't want to prove it to yourself, you don't want to do your own research, you just want to sit there and just let someone else do the talking for you, you want to keep your head stuck in the sand, you don't want to get involved, there's nothing I can do for you but say fuck you too.